Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a
prize. So are Americans worshiping government over God?
An extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years, the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
This is an idea.
Hello, friends. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. Did you have a good weekend? I hope so. We're starting to feel like November here in the Mid-Atlantic. It's been so balmy and so wonderful that now that we're in the 40s and it's rainy and overcast, I said to my husband, yeah, we cannot complain. It is, after all, November. But it's a brand new day, and I'm happy to say that the sun still reigns, S-O-N, and I woke up this morning and was able to say, no matter what circumstances I found myself in, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And because there's still breath in my body, I know I still have an opportunity to honor and glorify Him, which, after all, is the whole reason why I exist in the first place. Those are just some of my thoughts as we start this week out together. I would love for you to answer the question of the week. Hint. There's another presidential debate tomorrow night. Hint, I think this time you're going to get some substantive answers, because there was such a scolding of the secular press the last go-around that this time I think we're going to get some real answers. And so there'll be two. Those who made the first cut, those who were the second stringers. Sorry, this is all predicated on poll data. So it's going to be the Fox Business Network tomorrow night, 7 o'clock for the second stringers and 9 o'clock for those who met a certain criteria threshold. And then we're going to do some analysis on Wednesday of the debate, because, again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, especially because the entire topic tomorrow night, like it was supposed to have been the previous debate, is going to be about the economy. And if you're listening to some people who really know what they're talking about, well, we're just this close to being in a recession. The economy is very fragile. It's weak. You got to realize merchants out there holding their breath, because now we go into that season where they're going to start pushing Christmas. Did we have Thanksgiving yet? Just kind of, I don't know, wondering. And I have a problem. Maybe it's a little OCD firstbornism, but I don't like mixing red and green with the orange for my pumpkins. Okay, I don't want to put the Christmas stuff out while I still have the Thanksgiving stuff out. And it's so cool, because now some department stores are saying, we celebrate one holiday at a time. There will be no Christmas decorations till after Thanksgiving. High five. I think that's a cool idea. All right, in town today, oh, big doings. Benjamin Netanyahu came to talk to the President of the United States. Ooh, to have been a fly on the wall in that meeting. So the President said that the U.S. is taking very seriously a deadly attack that took place today in Jordan. And American officials are saying that two of those who were killed in the attack were, in fact, government employees. Now, my heart goes out to those families. Jordan, we often refer to the Middle East as gentle Jordan. They've gotten along very well with Israel for lo these many years, and they are likewise concerned about the infusion of ISIS. By the way, if you follow me on Twitter, @PartialTalk, oh, horrible story about ISIS. Just sign up and you can read it. But, just what a reminder that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Just grotesque. So details about this incident apparently took place at a police compound. The details are kind of murky. The U.S. officials are still trying to determine exactly what happened and how many are dead. But you know that was a part of the conversation between Benjamin Netanyahu and Barack Obama today in the Oval Office. The U.S. Embassy in Amman said that two Americans injured in the attack were also U.S. government workers, as I noted a moment ago. All were part of a State Department police training program, and that is according to a U.S. official who wasn't authorized to speak publicly, because this is still a fluid situation. So the President, during his meeting, said, "We take this very seriously and we'll be working closely with the Jordanians to determine exactly what happened." And meantime, the U.S. Embassy said that it was, quote, premature to speculate on the motive. Well, hey, what's not premature? It's been a slow train coming, but it's coming nonetheless. Now we have Egyptian officials saying they are 90% sure that commercial airliner that took off from Sharm el-Sheikh on its way back to St. Petersburg was, in fact, a bomb. So now the question is, and remember it was ISIS who came right out of the gate shortly after the destruction that claimed hundreds of lives. We did it, and the burden of proof, I'm paraphrasing, this was their message, the burden of proof is on you all to prove we didn't do it. So Russia immediately said no, Egyptian officials said no. David Cameron, by the way, was one of the first to come out and say, yes, it was a bomb. Then the president in a radio interview said, it could possibly be a bomb. And now Egyptian officials have evolved in their position saying we're 90% sure it was a bomb. Then we have the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee who said yesterday that he has a, quote, high degree of confidence that the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, you and I know it as ISIS, put a bomb on the Russian plane that crashed in the Sinai Peninsula. In fact, Representative Michael McCaul from Texas said this, I have a high degree of confidence that it was. It's been my gut all along that as we've looked at the facts, the region itself, the fact that they went to hit the Russians. And hit them they did, 224 people aboard. Three of them were from the Ukraine. 17 of them were children. McCaul said, I think the latest evidence we have is the black box recording itself, which indicates that there was an explosion on the aircraft. And when you couple that with the satellite technology, this flash of heat on the airplane, the fact that ISIS has declared war on Russia, this was a Russian plane heading for Russia, in addition to the U.S. and U.K. intelligence that we've received, all the indicators, he said, are pointing to the fact that this was ISIS putting a bomb on the plane. And McCaul said, and this is the part that's most disconcerting, I call this a new chapter to ISIS. What does that mean now about domestic flights globally? Very, very disconcerting. So, how do we go through life? The Bible in one hand, the newspaper in the other. And God's Word reminds us that we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So you and I have to learn how to make sense of God's Word. So that's why this month I chose the book Making Sense of the Bible by David Whitehead. It's a fabulous book. It really takes what is often a daunting and sometimes intimidating task, which is opening up reading the Word of God and letting the truth of that Word be written on the tablets of your heart. Not an opt-in, opt-out clause for the believer. A daily exercise like breathing and eating. It is a mandate for our life. But sometimes we pull back as we go, I don't get it. I don't understand what that means. So how do we make sense? Well, this book by David Whitehead will help you do that. It's not professorial. It's not academic. It is quintessentially user-friendly. What do I do when I pick these truth tools? I want to fill up your library, load up your backpack, so that when you and I walk together into the marketplace of ideas, we're better equipped. And by the way, these truth rules are my way of saying thank you. When you decide to support In the Market, you say, thumbs up, I agree. I'm marching with you into that marketplace of ideas, so I would like to get that truth tool. So why not call 877-JANET-58 for a gift of any size, 877-JANET-58, or go online to InTheMarketWithJanetParshall.org, InTheMarketWithJanetParshall.org, and also my tight circle of friends, I call my partial partners. I send all sorts of things to you, just my way of saying thank you, because you've said I so want to partner with you. I'll do it every month in a gift of any size you want. Consider it. 877-JANET-58 or In the Market with Janet Partial.org. I hope you're enjoying this edition of In the Market. I want to quickly remind you that this and other programs just like it can be found at In the Market with Janet Partial.org. You'll also be able to find links to guests, book information, our Facebook and Twitter pages, and so much more. Again, that's In the Market with JanetPartial.org. Thanks again for listening. And now, back to the program.
Making time to get rich, it's the only clock that I'm gonna stitch. Making money, that's my rule. Gets respect from those other poor fools. White women and song ain't gonna be. You can look, but you ain't gonna see. Sharp fancy shoes. Stay out of reach if you ain't got those fun rules.
Well, that's one way to look at it. Of course, I would say that probably that song says that money's the most important thing in your life. not a song I want to be singing, by the way. But isn't it interesting, and aren't you thankful that the Word of God has over 2,000 verses dealing with the subject of money? Do you think the Lord knew that we would have issues in this area? I think so. And then you know that the world also struggles as well, because how come there's so many songs about money out there? Really? I mean, we've got song after song after song singing about money. And a lot of times people are singing the blues when it comes to money. So how do you think the economy is doing right now? Boy, I've been listening to a lot of economic experts who say the dollar is falsely inflated and that we are just a cat's whisker away from a recession. Then I look every month and I wonder if you do the same thing too. You ever look at those job numbers, how many people have filed for unemployment? And what happens to people who are underemployed? What about that number? That's in that murky area. Can we really count noses? And how many people are saying, man, we got 2 and 3 part-time jobs and we still are not making it work. How in the world can we turn this around? That's what we want to talk about this hour. And I want to take your questions as well. 1-877-548-3675. 1-877-548-3675. And I'm joined by our friends Stephen and Ed Economides, who are family finance experts and New York Times best-selling authors on this topic. And Stephen and Ed, I want to start right out with this idea. Give me your, it's not a ladylike term, but I think it'll work. Give me your gut impression on where the economy is right now. Depending on what pundit you're listening to or what channel you're watching, we're either moving robustly in the right direction or we're really fragile, walking on melting ice in July. What's your take?
I tell you, Janet, it's so good to be back with you again.
Hi, Janet.
The economy, in our minds and our experience, is fragile. There are some people that are working jobs and making a killing, and there are other people that, like you said, are working 2, 3, 4 jobs, you know, 2-income families, trying to make ends meet. And it's this strange dichotomy, because it seems like all these businesses are doing well and they're stockpiling cash, but I think the larger corporations are still very uncertain about the future of the economy, and so they're being really, really careful, and they're stockpiling cash in case there's a downturn so that they can survive.
Janet, it's almost like the rich are getting richer and the middle class is getting poorer.
Yeah. And so we struggle because, you know, the backbone of America is small business. And I heard a very unsettling statistic the other day that for every new business that starts, there's equally one that fails. Well, how do you move an economy forward if you have a ratio of 1 to 1? That's not economic growth in anybody's book, is it?
Right.
Correct.
Right. And I'm seeing lots of solopreneurs, lots of people that have had jobs in the corporate world that have either been laid off or downsized or whatever you want to call it, you know, income was cut, and they decided to start their own business. And they aren't entrepreneurs where they're hiring people, they're working on their own. And there's a lot of hungry people out there wanting to learn how to run their own businesses, how to make a living when the economy goes south. I mean, we have a friend who was a TV news anchor, and both she and her husband, he was the news director, she was a news anchor, lost their jobs, and we're going to talk about how they survived for a year by liquidating things they had. But it's tough out there.
Right.
Wow. And there are a lot of factors, a lot of causal factors. I watch what happens, by the way, in Greece. You know, they sneeze, we get a cold. We need to understand the international connection now. People's 401ks, how many of that is invested in something overseas? That goes down. Next thing you know, they get their report going, hey, how did I lose that money in my 401k? And I think another element is, for example, when the new health care law was put into place, because there's a mandatory trigger for applying for health care, and businesses said, I can't do it, they ended up taking full-time employees, and they made them part-time so they wouldn't hit that trigger of the health insurance. So all in all, the downturn here is not very good, and we are in a very fragile place. So I'm glad you're here, because we're here not to feed out discouragement, but to say, okay, so if that's you, if you're finding yourself in that kind of a situation, what do you do? And one of the first things I want you to talk to us about is, you know, it's scary. Some people don't want to do it. They don't even know if they qualify. But who is eligible for unemployment, and how difficult is it to get it?
Well, I'm not an expert on it, but I have gone on it once when we were laid off from a job.
Many years ago.
And my philosophy was, there's government help available. I don't like the idea of taking it, but I've got a family to feed, and I don't know how long I'm going to be unemployed.
But
my first reaction was, I'm going to go apply. And I did. We ended up getting it. We were only on it for about a month and a half. But the key is we can't let our pride stand in the way. We need to have a budgeting system. We need to manage the money we have, and we need to go get the assistance that's out there.
But usually it's full-time folks that qualify. So if you've been a part-time worker, rarely do you qualify for unemployment. And I guess what we would say, since it probably varies from state to state and depending on what company you work for, go and try. You have nothing to lose, right?
Yeah, I'm glad that you said that, and thank you for telling us also that it does vary state by state. And Annette, I'm glad you brought that up, because some people who have a part-time job might think, well, I lost that job, so maybe I can get some financial support. The way this system originally was designed philosophically was, if it was full-time employment that was lost, then you would get some supplemental income, but it very rarely happens if it's part-time, but I like what you said. Ask. It doesn't cost you anything to ask, right?
That's right.
Right. The second thing, Janet, people really need to do is get on a budget. Start keeping track of every place that your money's going. Figure out what debts you have, what assets you have, and get yourself organized. Sometimes it's difficult to face it, but it's so important.
And most people will say, I've lost my job. I don't have income to manage. But we can't stress it enough. You've got to manage what you have. And that's a scriptural principle. Know well the condition of your flock. Take care of what God has given you to steward.
And a written budget is the way to do it.
Excellent. Excellent. 877-548-3675. This conversation strikes home. It breaks my heart because I know it strikes many homes. So we're going to help you try to figure out how to survive unemployment and underemployment with Stephen and Annette, Economy Nation. More after this. We'll get back to the program in just a moment, but first, did you know that there are multiple ways to give to Moody Radio? If you visit us online at moodyradio.org and click on the Giving tab, you'll see that there's a variety of options to choose from. Or, if you'd like to reach us by phone, you can call 1-800-DL-MOODY. That's 1-800-356-6639. That's 1-800-356-6639. And thanks again for your support.
We need to make our minds up today. When we play, they are turning away.
It's broken speakers breaking up the speed.
Look, they're leaving at lightning speed. We have our wants and then we have our needs.
You know we need this.
Let's go and get the best deal in town.
That's why we're talking to Stephen and Annette Economides, because they help us a lot. They are family financial experts and New York Times bestselling authors. And today we're honing in on a problem. It's a big problem, by the way. It's a problem that's right there sitting next to you at church. It's not an over-there problem. It's right within the walls of the church. And that is unemployment and underemployment and how you survive. The Bible calls us to look well to the ways of our household. And it gets tough. Gets tough in a very fragile economy. So I'm glad that we're talking with Stephen and Annette. We were talking about starting out by seeing if you can get to unemployment, then making a budget and managing what you do have. I'm going to go to the phones in just a bit, 877-548-3675. But Stephen and Annette, just touch on one thing, managing what you do have. You say that one of the things that we can do is simply take an accounting. And by the way, this I think is very Old Testament. Take an accounting of what you do have and then look around and say, is there something that we could sell? Is that hard to do?
It can be, depending on how emotionally attached to your items you are. But, you know, Janet, if it's one thing we have in America, it's stuff. We all have so much stuff. And so, you know, I'm just going to throw some things out there. For eBay, you can sell DVDs, CDs, books, games, old toys, technology, musical instruments, collectibles, Craigslist for larger items, furniture, artwork, sports equipment, small kitchen appliances. There's terrific consignment stores out there.
Our philosophy, Janet, is that the stuff that we have is really not ours.
Mm-hmm.
We're stewarding it. And if
yes.
a financial need comes up, what are we supposed to do with the stuff? You know, I look at it and I go, this is an asset. Whether it's an old foosball table, some sporting equipment, an old guitar, whatever it is. And we say, Lord, can you use? Is this what you're going to use to provide for our family?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we hold it with loose hands, because, you know, the truth is, if he wants us to have more things, he can provide them in a flash. And we've seen him do that. So why hold on to the stuff?
And, you know, Janet, we're almost empty nesters now, and we're going to be downsizing in a few years. So I've been going through my kitchen cabinets and taking so many of my housewares. First, I check with my daughters, and I say, do you want any of this? And some things they say yes. Most of the things they're like, no. So I have got like $50 to $100 in credit at this consignment store, and it's basically like bartering because I've been able to do some Christmas shopping with some of the other items that I find there.
So hold
that
them
is
loosely.
A great idea.
Yeah. And just we mentioned in the first segment, this friend of ours who was a news anchor and her husband was a news director, they made their mortgage payment for a year and a half buying things at garage sales and reselling them on eBay. They learned to hone in on one area, and it was housewares. And they would find these phenomenal deals, you know, somebody selling this huge pot for $10, and they turn around and sell it for $70. They're running their own business. They've got their brand, and they're developing it. And that's what we have to look at, is that you are not your job anymore.
Right.
You are the individual God's called you to be. You are uniquely gifted, and there's some way that He's going to provide for your family through you, and we need to be open to different ways of doing things.
And, Janet, I'm going to just throw out, like, four things that people can do to earn money fairly effortlessly. Number one is, if you're a guy, be a Santa Claus, or if you're a girl, be an elf this year. There's always a call for that at Christmas time. Think about substitute teaching if you have a four-year college degree. Get a room ready. Clean out a room, set it all as a guest room, and do Airbnb. Rent out your room, bed and breakfast. Become a foster parent. That can't be taken lightly, but there is a foster care crisis in our country. And if you have rooms available, there's a subsidy for caring for the kids, and it can help pay your mortgage.
We've been foster parents.
Yeah.
And
it can be very rewarding.
Rewarding. The kids need people to love them.
Right. And then Swagbucks surveys. We have a link on our website at moneysmartfamily.com. You can earn gift cards to Amazon. And so far, we've earned $75 in gift cards to Amazon. So by doing surveys and other things that you can do through that company called Swagbucks.
Wow, that's excellent. 877-548-3675. Let me go to Dave in Minnesota. Dave, welcome. Your question or comment for the economy this, please.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry, Janet. Good to talk to you, and great to talk to these folks. See, I was listening to the comment on unemployment and how the gentleman felt bad about, you know, applying for this handout. Well, I went to my boss, and I asked for a raise. And his comment was all the money that he had to pay in the benefits to unemployment and whatever he pays, and that would affect my raise. And I qualified for unemployment. I work in road construction. But I was just, you know, going to comment on it. It's, in, I guess, with what I was told, it's not a handout. It's technically your raise, is it not?
You know, you're right. Companies do pay in for that.
We pay into it because we have employees.
And so you're right. I was like encouraging Steve, just go and get this. The company pays for it. You're without a job. Steve struggled with it, but you're absolutely right, Dave. It's there. There's a provision for it, and nobody should feel bad about getting it.
1-877-548-3675. That's our number here on In the Market with Janet Parshall. And we are talking with Steve and Annette, Economy Days. What I love so much is that, A, they have a biblical worldview, and, B, it is absolutely coupled with common sense and very pragmatic, practical ways to look well to the ways of your household. Our target topic today is unemployment and underemployment and ways in which you can survive. So join us with your questions. We'll take a break. Be back after this. Hi, friend. This is Janet Parshall again. And remember, you can share your comments with us about this or other topics on our Facebook page. We've linked it to our website, inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org, and you'll see the Facebook icon on the right-hand side. Or if you'd like, you can call and leave a message by dialing 1-877-JANET-58. That's 1-877-526-3858. That's 1-877-526-3858. And we hope to hear from you.
In the Market with Janet Parshall is made possible in part by a growing circle of friends who give monthly. To become a Parshall partner today, give us a call or go online. You can help Janet bring biblical truth into the marketplace of ideas and also receive exclusive resources, including private emails from Janet. Call 877-JANET-58 or go online to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org and become a Parshall partner right now. Call 877-JANET-58.
With Steve and Annette Economy Days, and we are talking with them because they are family finance experts and New York Times bestselling authors. And they've got a fabulous website, which is linked at ours at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. And our target today really is unemployment and underemployment and how you can survive. Christine, thanks so much for joining us from Illinois. Your question, please.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I'll try to keep this short. 2 years ago, my husband's employer was bought out and the company was shut down, so he was laid off. We had a really good income before then. So for the past 2 years, we've experienced him trying to find work and finding work here and there. We have refinanced our mortgage. Long story. He finally started his own business this spring, but at this point is not making any money. I'm a photographer. I'm not making enough, though, to make a difference in our family finances. So at this point, we've emptied our 401k, and we're currently living on that. We don't have any other income. I've already sold household items and things like that. So we're just kind of stuck at this point and facing a totally uncertain future. My husband's specialty, it's a specialized industry, and so he can't just go out and knock on doors and earn money. So we're just lost, and I'm just looking for what do we do at this point?
Oh, that's a great question. Christine, you're not alone. There's a ton of people out there exactly in the same place. There are resources. If there's any large churches within a two-hour drive of where you live, believe it or not, large churches now all over the nation are creating career resource ministries that people that are ex-headhunters, things like that, they're helping you with your resumes, all kinds of things like that to help.
I took a friend of ours who is an award-winning writer. He's been a professor at a college, PR expert, and he's been unemployed for a year and a half and just discouraged. We went together to a large church near us for their unemployment ministry, met with a headhunter there who volunteers her time to help people get their LinkedIn profiles done and start helping them learn to market themselves. Your husband has an incredible skill.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of getting the word out about who he is and where he is. So LinkedIn today is absolutely essential for somebody with that type of skill. It's a search engine. It connects people together.
Mm-hmm.
There's another book. It's called The Executive Job Hunting Guide by John Lucht. And we have this on a resource list on our website. If you go to moneysmartfamily.com/unemployment, I've got all these resources there. But this book talks about how to court a headhunter and stay in touch with them as you progress in your career so that they become your biggest fan and help you find jobs.
Now, this isn't a permanent solution, but there are plenty of places out there for help. Salvation Army will sometimes give help with utilities and mortgage payments. Catholic Charities, same thing. A lot of the big Christian churches have benevolence funds. There's also food banks out there. There's Food Share. There's Bountiful Baskets. Food rescue group.
One of the things we do when we coach families is we look at the food area and go, this is one area where in America there's a plenty. And so there are lots of options for feeding your family for less. And so going to the food bank, it's a strike against your emotions and kind of your self-esteem, but it's a way to provide for your family. And so we encourage families to do that if they can. It's only going to be for a short time. And Christine, with your photography business, is there a way you can take and start marketing that, either through Etsy? for
or Facebook. Right now is perfect time for you to start taking family Christmas pictures for all your friends. So get something up on Facebook right away.
There are mastermind groups. People get together on Facebook and online talking about how they promote their own business. We're part of one for our writing business.
Right.
And we get some incredible ideas. You feel
tips.
Really isolated sometimes.
Right.
And connecting with people who are doing what you're doing and doing it well is a great way to grow.
And your husband may need to pick up a part-time job while he is trying to build his own business. Because you're right. It's tough trying to build your own business, and sometimes there is zero income. So income is, like, the most important permanent thing you've got to work on right now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Christine, may that be an encouragement to you, and I pray that God gives you his immeasurable peace when you're going through all of this. You know, the father of all lies just loves to breathe fear in your heart all the time when you're in this kind of a situation, but you have to cling to his promises. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And I love the way the economy, they have given you some really practical steps here that you can take, but boy, a lot of this is just pressing into him and trusting him one day at a time. And if I might pick up on what you said about the food pantries. Well, I tell you, I can't pass the food pantries in my community or the food pantry in my church without saying it's time for me to make another donation, because today I have it, tomorrow I might not. So I need to recognize that there are families around me that are struggling. And when you realize, it sickens me. Grocery stores and big name stores that shall remain nameless will throw things out if they think a can has a tiny dent in it, because they can't give it away, because the minute they do, they hit a whole bunch of IRS regs, and so they will dump what you and I could use or wear or eat in the dumpsters in the back of their businesses, because that's what they're required by law to do. Otherwise, they have an accounting nightmare. What waste in America. It makes me physically ill.
Yes, it is a travesty, for sure.
Okay. We are seeing there's a church nearby us that God has just opened doors to, and they started a food pantry, and it is ministering to hundreds of people, and they're getting food from places, bagel companies. I'm not going to mention names, but there are
restaurants. They're picking up leftovers from restaurants.
And so it's changing. The economy is creating this situation where things are changing, and I think people are less concerned about the lawsuits and the IRS regulations, but that's God opening those doors.
Yes.
But he's blessing people.
You know, Janet, people can also evaluate their expenses. They can look at what they're paying for utilities, and some of those utility companies will have low income rate payer discounts that at least they can get. They can look at what their cell phone plans are and maybe simplify their cell phone plans to save.
Family plans, going into a cell phone plan with several other families where everybody pays a smaller amount. We're doing that right now with our kids, and our cell phone bill is $28 a month for unlimited everything.
Wow.
Look, as a body, we've got to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways to find economy of scale, even in cell phone bills.
Yeah, absolutely. Mary, thank you for calling 877-548-3675. I welcome you, and we'll take your question, please.
Hi. I just wanted to inquire about, I've been in the unemployment circle already, and I'm not making enough money right now, and I want to go back to school. Where do I start, and how do I start it if I have an IRS issue?
I don't know about the IRS issue, but in my mind, if I'm going to go back to school, I'm going to want to see God provide the money and not borrow. I'm tired of hearing stories, and this isn't against you, Mary. I'm hearing stories and running into people who have borrowed up to $200,000 to get a bachelor's degree. And going to school is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing, and there are so many options. We could spend an hour talking
about
this.
Oh, my gosh.
We have five kids, and they've all gone to school without borrowing a dime. We had our last one is graduating this December, but I would say look for scholarships.
And Unigo. Unigo.com is the newest scholarship website that we found, and it's for everything, whether it's undergrad, grad, you name it, scholarships for everything.
And the last thing I want to say on this issue is that the landscape of education is changing because of the $1.2 trillion in student loan debt that's out there right now. There's pressure for schools to change the way they do business. And right now there's a school called Southern New Hampshire University that's offering a four-year degree in two disciplines, And one is medical administration, and the second is in communications, and it's a flat fee of $10,000, books included, four-year degree, 120 benchmarks, not classes, that you have to take to get that degree.
We could do a whole session on college, but let me just add one more thing, Mary. A lot of people don't realize that if you work at the school where you want to go, the tuition is a fraction. Like, say it's like $15,000, you would pay $500 for the semester. And there's always places to work on a college campus. So if you really feel like you've got to go back to school, that's another option for you.
Pray like crazy that God will open those doors.
Wow. Mary, I thank you for that, and I do hope that this is an encouragement to you. Our number again is 877-548-3675. We're talking specifically about unemployment and underemployment and how you can survive. And the economy in this website is moneysmartfamily.com. We've got a link on our website, moneysmartfamily.com. I so appreciate it, Stephen Annette, what you just said about student loan. You know, when you start thinking about what it's costing you to get that bachelor's, and how very rarely that translates into a salary that even equals that. So you don't want to overindulge your debt level when your income ratio will not match by any stretch of the imagination. Anyway, let me take a break and come right back to the phones with your questions. 1-877-548-3675. 1-877-548-3675. Back after this. I sincerely hope that this program has helped you in some way today. And if it has, please tell a friend and encourage them to listen to it as well. This and other programs that have aired in the past year are freely available to listen to online at inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. Programs older than that are also available for purchase at moodyaudio.com. And thanks again for listening. Well, you get where we're going. We're talking money with Stephen Annette Economides. They are family finance experts and New York Times bestselling authors. They got a great website that's filled with all kinds of resources, moneysmartfamily.com. Check it out. Let me go back to the phones at 877-548-3675. Cindy, you're in Texas. Thanks for stopping by, and your question, please.
Yeah, my husband lost his job about 8 years ago, and he hasn't been able to find steady work. I'm a teacher, and I put myself through college working three jobs, but I make just enough not to qualify for any assistance. How can we get ahead? He does not get unemployment or anything like that. We're kind of stuck.
Great question, Cindy. You know, Steve wants to talk about jobs, and really the want ads maybe may not be the best place.
You know, a lot of people go online and look for job openings, and in my experience, I've never gotten a job by applying for it through a want ad because there's so much competition that way, and especially now when people are so desperate. So instead of looking for job openings, I choose to look for God openings. And it has never disappointed me. There have been times when I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. But what I mean by that is encourage your husband to look for companies that he likes or knows about in his area and go in and talk to them about his skills and see if there's a fit. Sometimes when somebody comes in who is enthusiastic about a product or a business, the owners, if they're open-minded enough, will create a job for that position if he's a good hard worker and has skills that could really benefit them.
Another thing you could do is volunteer there or intern there for free, because as he gets to know the people, if there is no job opening, but say he's just going there one day a week and he's starting to get to know everybody and be helpful, then, boy, if a job opening does show up, he's going to get it because everybody knows him and loves mm-hmm. him. And another thing you could do, talk about the job shadow thing.
I was at an employment meeting at a church last week, and this one gal who's kind of young, but she is so smart and not aggressive, but she wants to get a job. She decided to call a friend who's working in the industry she wanted to work in and asked if she could job shadow him for a day. And in the process, she got to meet his boss, learn about what's going on in the industry, and got a wealth of knowledge. So job shadowing, interning, all kinds of options to help get
jobs. Also, Goodwill is all over the country, and they have job fairs. And they have put so many people to work and found jobs for them.
You're not working at Goodwill, but they're
right.
helping you get employment with other companies. They also have job training things where they will help you look at your resume, work on your LinkedIn profile, and help you get ready to job hunt.
They'll also, on their job fair days, they'll give you a suit of clothes. They have barbers.
We've heard this in different
yeah,
areas.
We have.
Barbers.
They have barbers to give haircuts for free. They are committed to helping people find jobs.
Wow, that's excellent counsel. Thank you so much for that. Cindy, I truly hope and believe that that will be a help to you, so I thank you so much for being with us. Let me move to Michael now in New Hampshire. Michael, your question, please, and thanks for stopping by.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm just calling. I'll try to phone this in a question. I graduated from college in 2010. Shortly after that, became a believer and graduated with about $100,000 in debt. And just recently, I've been making payments. One of the loans is a private loan, and one of the loan payments consistently since I graduated. The federal loan have actually been on deferment and then now income-based for payments, but soon will then need to be paid in full. And I just got married in December, and I'm just looking for the best way or maybe some ideas on how to just chip away at that loan, because right now with where my income's at, I'm just making my payments, but I'm not able to throw any more money than the minimum. And I've been thinking
Michael,
about consolidation. And
you know, there's lots of options. The first question is, you're working right now, right?
I am, yes. I just got a new job, actually.
Okay, and my thing would be, Scripture is real clear. Do you see a man who is excellent in what he does? He will stand before kings, not obscure men. Work to be excellent. Mm. Get some training. Get additional training. Tell your boss that you are willing to do what it takes to become the most valuable employee at that company.
Also,
number two, you've got to have a money management system.
Right.
There is no two ways about it. And that means that you've got to cut your expenses so that you can make more than the minimum payments. You'll never get ahead with an income-based repayment plan because they're stacking up interest on the back end of that loan. So you're actually going in debt further each month, even though you're making your payments. It's a sick system.
Yes.
It's bad.
It's criminal.
It really is criminal. What the suits in wherever the banking industry has come up with these loans has done to enslave students who are 17, 18, 20, 25 years old to this system. It really makes me mad, but you can beat it if you manage what you have. And God wants you to be free to serve him.
We also have a whole college board on our Pinterest page. I don't know if you're familiar with Pinterest at all, but there's loan forgiveness things out there. Michael, you could actually sign up if you qualify for the National Guard and serve with them for 2 or 3 years, and they'll forgive a certain amount of your loan every year, and you serve with them once a month. You get trained, and then you serve with them.
There are lots of options.
There are other options. I don't know what field you're in. I know there's loan forgiveness for teachers, loan forgiveness for doctors, but check out our Pinterest board. It's pinterest.com/AnnetteSteve, and like I said, we have a whole college board there with all kinds of resources.
Excellent. Michael, I do hope that's an encouragement to you. I thank you so very much for being with us. I am almost out of time, so let me just ask you, Steve and Annette, if you could just give a word of encouragement. This is exactly where some of our listeners are right now. You've given them great counsel up to this point. Help them now in the area of discouragement. Every single day, if that job offer doesn't come through, they have to put one foot in front of the other. 30 seconds of encouragement, if you would, please.
We are not the providers. God is. And God loves us so deeply.
He will not let us starve. We have to do our part. But I agree with Steve. We're not alone. There's so many folks out there that are struggling right now.
Let's lean on the body. The body is designed to support the ones that are hurting. Get involved in your church. Volunteer somewhere. Give your time away if you don't have the money to give. God is for us. He is for us.
Amen. And if He be for us, who can be against us? What great counsel. Stephen and Ed, I thank you so very much for spending the hour with us. And friends, I pray. Thank you for listening to this edition of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I again want to remind you that if you'd like to come alongside us and help with the financial costs associated with this program, you can support us by visiting moodyradio.org and clicking on Support Moody. Again, that's moodyradio.org. Thanks again, friend, and we hope to see you next time.